I'd like to say good morning to you. It's so good to see this number this morning, and several I've invited I see here, and I thank the Lord for it. And if you're visiting, just make yourself at home. We're glad that you're here this morning. I was trying to remember who I was talking to. I think maybe it was another preacher friend, and we were talking about how we love seeing the house of God full. You'd think the more people that was around, the more nervous a person would be. But, you know, it excites me to see people excited about showing up for the Lord. It ain't about who's standing here, it's about Him. And that's what's exciting, to see people excited about the Lord. And as time goes on, it seems like there's more and more things that will pull people away from the house of God and pull people away from thinking about God. But I tell you, we need to be faithful. We need just to slow down and be faithful this morning. If you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. We'll be looking at verses 45 through 51. It's my first homecoming here as pastor, and I'm excited about that, but I want you to know I'm more excited about our home going one day. And I think that is probably closer than we could anticipate, and we just don't know. You just got to be ready, and you got to be prepared. But just really thinking along those lines, and I guess it was yesterday that kind of set this in place for me. And as some have known, it's talking about on Wednesday night, I've got a new position, a new job, and so I'm working on campus. So yesterday morning, I was preparing and getting ready, moving things in my new office and kind of cleaning things up, getting acquainted with it. And that's kind of where this message started for me. I guess it was a couple of years ago, Sister Sarah, she'd asked me, asked Josh to ask me what one of my favorite verses was. And there's so many, aren't they? I mean, if I was to ask you, you'd say, I like this one awful good, but man, this one's good too, and I like this one. And so I thought just a little bit, and I told Josh, I really am a fan of Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 46. It said, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And I thought that is a very interesting verse. Well, yesterday as I was cleaning out my office and just going through things, and it wasn't a mess or nothing like that, but I just wanted to take time to get acquainted with it. You know, when you go into a new position, you're looking to see what do I need and what don't I need. I need to clean some of these things out, move some of these things out, and that's exactly what I was doing, just dusting a little bit and just kind of reorganizing things where I would be comfortable, where I wanted those things to be. And you know, our heart is kind of like that also this morning. I want you to think also, while we're going through this, think about the heart of a new Christian, or think about your heart. But I was cleaning through things, and there wasn't air conditioning in the office, so it was getting a little toasty. And it was kind of earlier in the morning, and it's in a residence hall, so I didn't want to wake anybody, so I left the door shut. There was no cross breeze. And I was working, and I was down on my hands and knees, just kind of going through things and dusting things and looking things over. And sure enough, Brandy calls, and she said, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I'm fine. I said, I'm just working, just kind of sweating a little bit. It's a little hot, wiping the sweat a little and everything, and just going through and just placing things where I wanted it. But, you know, I looked up, and I was so blessed to see this and so thankful that the Lord had given me this, that little plaque that Sarah had made for me. I had it right there visible where I could look at it. It's one of the first things that set in my office as a little reminder. And I was thinking, man, boy, if the boss showed up right now, he'd be happy. You know, I'm sweating and working and kind of getting with it. But I was just so thankful for that. You know, our hearts are that same way with Scripture. The Lord gives us Scripture. Me and Brother Bradley were talking about that one time, about how we know that the Lord gives you Scripture when you need it. Just hanging up, and how we can decorate our heart, how we can garnish our heart with Scripture. It's there for us when we need it. And we see these things here this morning. We're talking about being faithful. Just what a faithful servant looks like. I think sometimes we think it's in our mind maybe some grand thing that we have to do, that we have to do something big or something spectacular to be noted or for it to receive credit. I want you to know this morning, the Lord just wants you to be faithful. He just wants you to be here. He wants you to show up ready to worship, ready to do the things that He would have you to do. And I think we'll see that in these verses this morning. We'll read these and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get to the message this morning. Verse 45, it says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? This is a question being asked. Jesus is asking this. He's giving this example. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You see a shift in his mind. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunken. Then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and so thankful for everyone that's here. Thankful for Homecoming Sunday, Lord, and just all the work and provision that's been put into it. God, we just thank you for that. Looking forward to a time of fellowship, just talking with one another, God, and getting reacquainted maybe with some, Lord. But the most important thing this morning is what we're going to do right now, God, is look at ourselves, look at our hearts. God, it's important that we examine ourselves, just like we heard in Sunday school. Appreciate that wonderful lesson. It's so important that we take time to examine ourselves, examine our heart. Are we being faithful? Are we truly being faithful as you would define faithfulness, God? Are we being faithful to you? God, I pray that you go with us today, go with us in this service, lead us and guide us. God, I just pray that your will be done. Anyone here that's lost this morning, God, I pray that today will be their day of salvation. Lord, there's some we could call by name that we have burdens for, God, that's on our heart. Lord, we pray for them today. Lord, we pray for those that we don't know what the condition is, Lord, but we know that you do. How important it is that we be found faithful, God, in these last days. Ask all these things in Jesus' name, and amen. So we see here the first thing that he talks about here, the subtitle that I have in my Bible in verse number 45, through this section that we just read, it's called the wise servant. A wise servant, there could be different kinds of servants, a good one and a bad one. I guess in the workplace you see good ones and bad ones, people that you'd want to work with, people that you would have an example to be like, I like to be like this one or maybe not this one. I've always been told that birds of a feather flock together, so competent people find competent people. People want to get laying there and get the work done, they work together. And likewise, those who kind of want to fly under the radar, they kind of find each other and do the same thing. Would you not agree? I think we've seen that. But Jesus here is giving the example of the faithful servant. And the unique thing about this example that's giving here is it's not talking about a known payday by the servant. The servant doesn't know. All he knows to do is I've got to stay busy. I've got to do what my Lord has asked me to do. And I've got to stay focused on that. Because I don't know when that payday is going to be. I don't know when this time is going to come. Usually, like we've said before, we look at things in time here on earth, but in heaven there is no time. It's a different way of looking at things. We are to be faithful until the Lord calls us home or until he comes to get us. What a wonderful thing that would be, and that's what these verses are talking about. It says, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Faithful, that means firm in adherence to truth and duties. That's one who, regardless where the master is, regardless where the Lord is, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He doesn't have to have somebody constantly watching over him. It's like he has this internal burden. It's like he's being guided from the inside. You know, this is the right thing to do. I don't have to have mom and dad stand over my shoulder and make me do it. I don't have to have the boss make me do it. I don't have to have anybody make me do it. I'm faithful because I want to be faithful. Because I'm thankful for what I have. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for what the Lord has given to me. So I'm going to be faithful over that. I'm going to watch over this. It says, who then is faithful, a faithful and wise servant? Wise is one who having knowledge to discern, to judge correctly. See, that's what we learn in church. How to discern things. How we are supposed to act. How we are supposed to be, Brother Winfrey, as Christians. How we're supposed to carry ourselves. Well, you see that kind of hit and miss in these days and times. You sure see that. Verse 46, it said, blessed is that servant. Happy. Happy is that servant. Prosperous is that servant. He's talking about here spiritually and physically. That servant that when whom his Lord cometh, when his Lord cometh, shall find him so doing, just doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, I know it's homecoming and preacher's supposed to be nice on homecoming. You know, we're here to have a good time. But if we're not doing what the Lord would have us to do, we're not going to have a good time. We're not going to gain and grow what we're supposed to. It seems like over the last little bit that the messages have kind of been leaning toward the line of faithfulness, and I can almost see the finish line. And I think we're getting that much closer to it. And when I study and when I pray, it's almost the Lord is saying, just keep them confirmed. Let them know that I'm coming soon. This time is coming soon. Now is not a time to lay down and to quit, to be faithful. You know, sometimes working is a thankless job. Sometimes people feel maybe they're not getting noticed or credited for what they're doing. But let me tell you something. The Lord knows. The Lord is watching. He's the one that's keeping up with the tab. It's not the deacons. It's not the preachers. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's not mom and dad. It's the Lord. He's the one that's keeping up with this faithfulness. He is the one who actually keeps up with all of these things here about being faithful. Be saying blessed. What encouragement is, we see from the Lord just saying, you just keep doing what I'm telling you to do until I return. Just stay faithful. Look at all the things that can pull our mind away from being faithful. Beautiful sunny day like this. Nice boat on the lake. Brother Winford, just like he's teaching a while ago. Boy, that'd be appealing to some people, wouldn't it? You know, once upon a time, that was appealing to me. I remember a time like that. Spoke to it a little bit last Sunday, but I remember a time that church wasn't always my top priority. That's a sad testimony. That's a sad state. You know, there's a lot of times in my life that I've looked back and I've thought about this, Uncle Larry. I've thought about this. What if the Lord would have come back yesterday? What would He have found in me? What would He have seen? The title this morning is, Are You Ready for His Return? See, I don't know what everybody's into, but you do. You know what is holding you back from being what you're supposed to be for the Lord. You know that. But I ask you, if the Lord was to come back right now, are you ready? Are you ready for that return? Are you ready for that homecoming? Would you want Him to return and you'd be found in a mess? See, the only way to protect against that is just stay away from messes, right? Keep that heart clean. Clean that heart up and keep it clean. That's Brother Archie, that's an easy thing to say, is it not? But day in and day out, are we doing that? As I was cleaning, Brother Nathan, it was hot. I was sweat. Bald-headed people sweat a lot easier than people with hair. I just want you to know that. Brother Curtis?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many times I come down after preaching and people are doing this. They're looking up. I know what they're looking at. Looking to see how much I'm sweating, you know. I understand that, and that happens. That's why I keep this around. I know that. But I was just thinking as I was working yesterday, and I was sweating, and Brandy called. She said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I'm just working. But I was sweating. I was thinking, my goodness, I don't want it to be back in this shape again. I don't want it to be this hard every time I have to clean it. And it doesn't have to be. I was just thinking to myself, if I do just a little bit at a time each week, if I stay faithful just a little bit each time, or each day this in a week, it won't be this hard the next time. It'll be easier to keep up with. You see, that's how the Christian life is set up. That's why the Lord has set things up the way He has for us. That it's not just that we wait until we get into a big mess and try to clean up everything, but we do just a little bit at each time. How do you do that? You stay faithful. You stay faithful in your prayer life. You stay faithful in your church life. You stay faithful to one another and helping one another. You know, now I'll say this, and just picking, but if Brandy had been there with me yesterday, it would probably been easier, right? A little bit less of a burden to bear. She had other things she had to do. But you know, we are truly in this together. We can help one another. That's the beautiful thing about having fellowship in churches, helping one another. Lending a helping hand and being there, being faithful together. The devil would have you to believe that you're the only one going through what you're going through at this moment to make you feel alone, to make you feel defeated, to make you feel like you have no chance of getting things caught back up. But what a blessing it is when you have brothers and sisters that help you and lend that helping hand. What a blessing it would be. I've always envisioned. I've had dreams about the Lord's return. You know, I don't know exactly outside of what God's Word says it's going to be like. I could be in the bed asleep. I don't know. It could be during church. And I've always thought about that, how beautiful that would be when He returned. We could all just go together. But, you know, it also breaks my heart to think about those who have sat under preaching and the Lord returned, and them only be the only ones left knowing exactly what just took place. That's a sobering thought. Something to think about. But if you truly are excited about the Lord's return, it will show in our lives. It will show in my life. It'll show in your life every single day. It's a testimony to faithfulness. If you're not worried about it or concerned about it, you're able or liable to slip away and do whatever you want to do, what's more important to you. But what's the definition of a servant? I think a lot of us servants sometimes think we're self-employed, but we're not. We don't work for self. We work for the Lord. You know, He's given us instructions and things that He wants us to do until He comes back, has He not? His Word is full of it. It's not that we don't have anything to do. Does anybody feel like, well, the Lord hadn't given me anything to do? Does anybody feel like that? There's so much work to be done in the house of God. There's so much work to be done. You're talking about witnessing, reaching out to people. What you see here on Sunday morning, this is a time of worship. The work starts once you step outside those doors. This isn't the work part of our faith. This is the encouraging part. This is the pep rally part. This is the part, let's get together so we can go back out there and work. Because that's what the Lord would have us to do. Gather that fruit in. Bring those sheaves in as we sang about this morning. Be saying, happy is that servant. Would it not be a blessing if the Lord come back when you're doing something for Him? When you're totally dedicated to Him, whatever it is that He's led your heart to do and you're following Him and you're doing that with your whole heart and the Lord return, would that not be a wonderful thing? That's my goal. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Here's the thing. I don't get to clock out at any time because I don't know when His return is. You don't get to either. We none do. We don't pick that time. We don't know when that time is going to take place. If Jesus was to return right now, what would He find you doing? That's the question. Are you doing exactly what the Lord would have you to do? I remember this. When the Lord was dealing with me about surrendering to preach, He had made it so real that I felt that He would come back before I would have a chance to do anything for Him. He made it so imminent in my heart that I'm like, Lord, I'll do whatever You'd want me to do, but I feel like You're going to return before I get to do anything for You. I think that's about 10, 12 years ago now. It's hard to fathom that. It's hard to realize that or think about that. But would you consider yourself a faithful and wise servant right now? Because that's how you have to grade yourself right now. That's how you have to evaluate yourself, is in this moment right now. Because what if the Lord come back right now? That's the evaluation card. That's your review. Because that's how it's going to happen. I also thought about this morning. Are you in a backslidden state? I think sometimes people count being in church as credit. Praise the Lord that you're here. That's a wonderful step, but that just showing up doesn't mean everything. It doesn't. I remember as a young Christian, I showed up a lot of times on Sunday morning where I wasn't in condition to fellowship. I wasn't in condition to worship. I was there. Praise the Lord. I was there and I was able to hear how I could get things right. But I knew in my heart I wasn't right. What if the Lord would have come back? There's so many times, church, I remember earlier on as a young Christian thinking about when you hear preaching about the Lord's return, what if He come back? What would He find in me? The biggest fear I have for anybody in this church this morning, the biggest concern, the biggest burden is, what if the Lord returned right now and He found you lost? That's what burdens my heart. That's what I think about the absolute most. I want to see Christian people acting like Christians, but I want to see lost people saved the most. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you have an opportunity to talk about the best homecoming you're ever going to see. This is a wonderful day and a wonderful time of fellowship, but don't get that locked on the mind so much that you're not looking forward to your future with the Lord in heaven. Thinking about what He has for you and what He has for us all. You imagine, and I'm not trying to scare you, but you imagine. I don't know everyone's heart here. I would dare say, I think we could probably say with confidence, if the Lord returned right now, not everybody in here would be gone. But what would that be like for those that had the opportunity to accept Christ and not, and look around and know what took place? That's a sobering thought. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Let's just flip back a page to verse 36. You probably know this verse. Anytime you see major events in the world taking place, people start looking at the Bible. Matthew 24 is a big place that people start looking at. It talks about the rapture. It talks about the tribulation period. It talks about the midpoint of the tribulation period. It talks about many different things that we see in the end times. It's all written in red. This is Jesus' explanation to people. This is what He was explaining to His disciples. How many of you use a calendar regularly? Electronic. Google, anybody use Google Calendar? I think that's probably one of the most popular ones. I know university uses that a whole lot. It's amazing how you can see everything fill up on a calendar in a week. As school starts, as more appointments and things get busy, we run everything by a calendar. We put everything in there so we won't forget something, so we won't miss something, so we can plan for it. So as we go through our daily business and we have things that we need to do, we'll put this on there and we'll say, okay, I can't. And if somebody calls and says, I want this time, too late, sorry. That date and that time is filled, but I can do it at this time. And you fill that date up. You fill that up. But look what the Lord says here in verse number 36 about God the Father. But of that date and hour knoweth no man. You see, that's the hard part. When you preach to somebody, when you teach to somebody, and you say, be ready, most often we say, I don't have to worry about this thing, this appointment, until this date and time. This is an appointment that I can't put on your calendar. This is an appointment that you can't put on your calendar. You don't know. You don't know that date and time. You know what the Lord is saying here? Jesus Himself doesn't know this date and time. There's only one. Only one person that knows this date and time. And I find a great significance in this because it says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not even the angels. Not even other people in heaven. Not even the angels in heaven. Underline that little word, but. But my Father only. When I read this, and I've seen this, and I've used this, quoted this, how many of you believe that God knows everything? Would anybody say that God doesn't know everything? If He knows everything, He's got that day on His calendar. He knows that day. Brother Norman, I'd never read it quite like that. I'd never read it that way. I'd never seen it that way, knowing that when God created the heavens and the earth, He set everything in place in Genesis. He knew us before we were born, as we read in Jeremiah. He had this day in place. He had this date set up on His calendar. You know, I don't believe anything is going to stop that day. Nothing. You imagine, let's put it in God's perspective. We see it from our eyes, but let's put it in God's perspective. He's looking at His calendar. He's looking at things, and He knows this is coming. He knows this day is coming when it's coming. It's not a secret to Him. We don't know it. Brother Dale, we can't see it. But He knows it, and He looks down. He says, this day is coming. Boy, there's so many that's not ready. There's so many that should be ready. There's so many that could be ready. I've told him everything I can tell him minus that day. He's the only one that knows. Are you ready? That's the most sobering question, the most sobering thought I could ask you this morning. He knows that day. He knows that day is coming. He's laid out before every one of us, Christian. He's laid out your life, what He would have you to do. I think maybe in God's mind, He's saying, what are they waiting on? If they could just see, if they just knew how close I am, even at the door. But what are they waiting on? What are they waiting on? Why are my priorities not their priorities? Why is it not important to them? Why are my Christian people, my church people, more preoccupied with things out in the world than bringing those people in? Church, if saved people aren't convinced, and if they're not convicted, I promise you the lost people are not going to be. They think, I've got time. I've got time. I'll make it right. Procrastination is an awful thing. Procrastination says you've always got time. And we don't know how little time we have. We think about His return. We also think about it this way. You think about our lives. We don't know when we could pass away at any moment. This week, every week you see things going on. Young people, older people. Where did this come from? And the doctors even say, we don't even know what this is. We don't know how to treat it. It's the Lord calling people home. This is a date and a time that we don't get to pick. Are you ready for His return? As sad as it would be to be saved and not living for God as the way He would have you to be, and Him show up and you be in a mess, your life being a mess, how serious it is to think you're here this morning, you're lost, and He shows up and you don't get to go. That date is coming. He's got that date. It doesn't say here that God doesn't know. You know, I was talking to Brandy, we were talking about this yesterday, and I'm like, you know, I never read it quite like this. But I believe with all my heart, the Lord, and He doesn't wake up, but one day starts, the next day starts, and the Lord say, you know, I think I'll return today. It's not like that. But my Father only, He knows that day. That day is set. If that's not enough to wake people up and make you think about how important that day is, we don't know. We don't know that date. We don't know that time, but only God Himself. We see again, turning back to verse number 47. Talking again about a wise and faithful ruler. Think about how faithful the Lord is to mankind. It says here, verily I say unto you, that He shall make Him a ruler over all His goods. All I can think about is Daniel, Joseph, those in the Old Testament where He proved this. Those that were good stewards, those that were just, those that were faithful. He put them over, made them rulers in the nation of Israel, other places, because people saw that they had favor with God. You see, these are traits of a good servant. How the servant of God should be. Now you see these last verses, you see just the opposite. I like contextual scripture where the Lord puts it in place. You have the good side, you have the bad side, and you get to choose. The choice is up to you. What you do with your time. We see verses 48 through 51, it says, but and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. That's a slothful thought. That's a thought that says, I've got time to get it right. I had a friend one time. Testified to this before. I had a friend one time talking to his dad. He said, Dad, I've got time. I'll get it right later on. That's how he chose to live his life. How scary that is to see that. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. In that hour he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 12 for just a minute. We got a little time. Lord willing, He's the one who holds the time. But I want us to see this, another explanation that the Lord gives us about our lives, about our heart. Again, I was talking about using the office there and kind of using that as an example and illustration of what I was going through at the time, but I want us to look at our hearts that same way. Our hearts as a space, a place. There's good things in there. There's bad things in there. There's things that need to get out of there. But we see a description here of what a hollow or an empty heart looks like and how susceptible it is to the devil. A person can clean their heart out. The Bible teaches us that here, but there's a danger if you don't fill it back with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. What we're seeing here, it's talking about the evil spirit itself. It's not talking about the outward man. It's talking about the unclean spirit that's on side, on the inside. So you take a person who's lost. If you're saved, you're sealed. You're sealed until that day, until the day of redemption. We're talking about lost people right here. We're talking about those who dedicate to try to do better, but they don't do business with the Lord. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes all the difference. A moral man can look right, can act right, and talk right, but if his heart is empty, he's wrong. He has no salvation. He doesn't have that chamber of his heart filled with the Holy Spirit that seals and encapsulates the heart. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, so that unclean spirit steps out. He walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. I read and studied about this some time back, and it was believed by some that unclean spirits would leave and go to the desert until they could find somebody else to inhabitate. And then they would look, and they'd want to go to somebody else. So always wanting to fill that space within somebody. You see, verse 4 here, it says, then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. He finds a brand new place to reside, all cleaned out, all ready to go. You see, this person who took so much time in cleaning and so much care and trying to straighten their lives out for themselves, but they didn't fill it with the Holy Spirit. That means they're that much more susceptible. You know, a person can start out right, kind of go wrong, maybe get back right, maybe not. How much time do you have? How much time do we have to get things right that are wrong right now? I don't know. But the interesting thing about this person who has filled their life with everything but Christ, look how susceptible they are. This spirit says, I will return. This unclean spirit says, I'll return to my house from whence I came out. That person, I was in there. I've inhabited there before. They kicked me out, but they never filled it back with anything else. So it's open again. That's a scary thought in my mind. I think a lot of movies depict being taken over with evil spirits. This is the biblical side of that, being possessed. This is the Bible talking about this. He said, I will return from whence I came out, and when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Garnished, that means decorated. Decorated with worldly things, not godly things. Not good things, not the way it's supposed to be. In verse 45 it says, then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. This is a person who tried to be moral, didn't do business with God, and now his life is full of evil spirits. Seven. He got seven times worse. I was trying to find a good illustration, but I just want to use a real life example. Not calling any names, not trying to be judgmental or anything like that, but I just want to be truthful with you. doing wedding photography and things, you get to go to a lot of weddings and see a lot of people, do a lot of things like that. And of course, with weddings, there's receptions. And sometimes with receptions, sometimes it's all good to go, but then sometimes there's alcohol at those receptions. Preachers, it's homecoming, it's supposed to be light and airy. I want to help you this morning. I mean, it's almost like for some, alcohol's not bad anymore. It's like it's not wrong anymore. But it's something else to experience this, and I see these verses. You think about the Lord's return, you see what's going on here, and you think about these verses, and you go up to a place, or you show up, and you see people that you go to church with or used to go to church with. And you see them at the reception, and they're drinking. Preacher, that's old-fashioned. I don't know why you'd preach about that. It's sin, is it not? Well, what happened? Well, how'd this be? Somebody that I'd go to church with, I've heard their profession, seen them in church, and now they're here drinking. And guess what? The preacher's there, and it's not even stopping them. I'd at least try to hide it. I'm going to be honest with you. As I thought about this, if I showed up at a reception, Brother Norman, and one of my preacher friends was there, and I was going to do this, and I saw them there, I thought, I can't do it here. But they did. Not only that, you know, there wasn't any conversation either. That table was kind of off to itself, and everybody else was kind of doing their thing, but there was no eye contact. We ain't going to make eye contact. We're not going to look at each other. This is just kind of what we're doing right now. That's what it was like. They sit there, and you know, as the evening went on, and I saw it, I saw them stacking up little cups like, man, look how much I've drank. People say, well, it's probably just a social celebration. No, they're getting drunk. Preacher, that's old stuff. There's bigger. Sin is sin. Amen. But I was looking at it, and I even thought this morning, as things roll over in your mind, what would it have been? What would it have been if I rolled over there with them and grabbed up a drink and sat down with them, Brother Winfrey? What could they say? What could they say? You're a preacher, you can't do that. You're a Christian, you ain't supposed to be doing it either. I mean, what are you going to say to that? I can't believe he's doing that. You wait till I get somewhere, I'm going to tell him, you wait. You're doing it too. Preacher, nobody's going to listen to you preach anymore. How are you going to lead somebody to the Lord with alcohol in your breath? How are you? You first. What if the Lord would have come back that day? I think about other people's souls, not just my own. I think about yours, my family's, people I come in contact with. I care about you. I care about them. It's not about being judgmental, but it makes me wonder, is this person ready or not? I guarantee you, if I'd have left out in a situation like that, they'd have left out saying, I just don't know if he's saved or not. How can he get up and preach and do all that and drink? How can you? How can you do it? How do people get to that state? How do people get to a position that they do things like that? There has to be a checking out somewhere. One, they're backslidden. Or two, they're seven times worse than what they were before. It breaks my heart. I want to see people right. I want to see people doing right and have good lives, have blessed lives like he's saying here. But here's the thing. I don't know when his return is. I don't know how long people have to get their lives right. I don't know how long people have to accept Christ. I have to preach it every day anew and say today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. You have to do something now. That's why today is always so important. Because I can't promise you tomorrow. I can't promise you the rest of the day. You can't either. But I want you to know this morning, church, I hope you're ready. Each individual, I know what it's like to be young. And I know what it's like to go through different phases in life, meeting different groups of people and trying this out and looking at this and looking at that. But there's a time in my life that I thank God that he didn't return then. And I want to finish strong now. That's the goal, but I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know how far away that finish line is, but I know it's coming because it's already on God's calendar. But if you will, stand with me this morning. And I'll ask you, are you ready for his return? do something a little different this morning. I'd like for us to sing a song together.